A sky burial is an ancient funeral practice in which a human corpse is placed on the mountaintop to be eaten by scavenging birds. Tibetans saw the vulture as dakinis, like angels who take the soul into the heavens to await reincarnation and the next life, the body a mere vessel for the soul. Comparable practices are part of Zoroastrian burial rites, where the deceased are exposed to the elements and scavenger birds on stone structures called dakma. This could be related to ceremonial practices similar to the suspected sky burial evidence found at Stonehenge 4,500 years ago and Göbekli Tepe 11,500 years ago. That said, ancient battlefields strewn with corpses attracted great flocks of ravens. One of the reasons that they were considered a harbinger of death, but also of rebirth, as they carried the flesh up into the heavens. The raven's beak became a symbol of death and rebirth in medieval Europe, particularly during times of pandemic. It's a cold, misty day here by the lake in normally sunny California. Prior to the late 19th century, misty air was considered dangerous in most Western cultures. Throughout the 19th century, the medical community was divided on the explanation for disease proliferation. On one side were the contagionists, believing disease was passed through physical contact, while others, since ancient times, believed disease was present in the air and carried in the mist or night air. The relationship between disease and bad-smelling air gained acceptance as fear increased during the emergence of the Black Death Plague in Europe. A plague doctor was a medical physician who treated victims of the bubonic plague. In times of epidemics, these physicians were specifically hired by towns where the plague had taken hold. Since the city was paying their salary, they treated everyone, both the wealthy and the poor. Typically, they were not experienced physicians or surgeons at all, and some were known to exploit the situation by charging patients additional fees for special treatments or false cures. Plague doctors practiced bloodletting and other remedies such as putting leeches on the patient's sores. They rarely cured their patients. Rather, they served to record a count of the number of contaminated for demographic purposes. The theory held that the origin of epidemics was due to this foul odor emanating from rotting organic matter. A poisonous vapor or mist filled with particles from decomposed flesh that was propagated by environmental factors such as contaminated water and poor hygienic conditions. This fear also extended to fog, where the presence of fog strongly indicated the presence of disease and was thought to behave like smoke or mist blown with air currents or wind. The plague doctor's costume was designed to protect you from what was thought of as evil smells, suspected as the cause of infection as the pandemic grew. The man attributed with the invention of this plague suit is Charles de Lorme, the chief physician of three French kings, and was also in the service of the Medici family in Italy. The miasma theory, as it was called, held that the diseases such as cholera, chlamydia, or the Black Death were caused by noxious form of bad air, also known as night air, and the word miasma means pollution in ancient Greek, and some doctors wore a beak-like mask designed to protect them from the putrid air. The protective suit consisted of a light, waxed fabric overcoat, a mask with glass eye openings, and a beak-shaped nose, typically stuffed with herbs, straw, spices, and other aromatic items, such as juniper berry, ambergris, which is a dull gray or blackish color produced in the digestive system of sperm whales, roses, mint leaves, cloves, and opium. Plague doctors would also commonly carry a cane to examine and direct patients without the need to make direct contact with the patient. Sometimes patients would be told to drink their own urine or consume medicines made from eggshells or other ingredients, and would also be rubbed with onion, garlic, butter, arsenic, or flower petal compounds, or even be advised to rub animal parts on their body to try to eliminate the illness. Frogs, snakes, and pigeons were particularly popular if they were nearby. Once infections were lanced, they were often rubbed with a mixture of tree sap, flower petals, and human excrement. As a person neared death, they could even be coated in mercury and baked in an oven for a while. There were also techniques to induce diarrhea to help drive out whatever evil had taken over the body. Needless to say, the plague doctor would usually expedite the patient's death rather than bring any sort of relief to the situation. Some academics in the early 19th century even suggested that one could become obese by inhaling the odor of food. But the theory of illness from bad smells was eventually given up by the turn of the 19th century in Europe by scientists and physicians when it was replaced with the theory that germs were responsible for disease. Another belief during the Middle Ages was that bad things happened because God was dissatisfied with humanity. This meant that people needed to make amends. As a result, self-flagellation became a common treatment for the plague. Individuals would whip themselves in order to atone for whatever sins had brought about the disease. In fact, there were entire groups of flagellants dedicated to the practice. But when a person couldn't whip themselves sufficiently, or were already sick and too weak, they often asked the plague doctor to do it for them. Pope Clement VI even famously surrounded himself with fire to keep the evil of the plague from infecting him. But it was more than likely the heat itself that kept him safe, rather than the fire warding off evil spirits. The bubonic plague, or Black Death, resulted in the deaths of an estimated 75 to 200 million people in Eurasia, peaking in Europe from 1347 to 1351, and creating a number of religious, social, and economic upheavals, with profound effects on the course of European history. Thank you. In Greek mythology, a miasma is a contagious power that has an independent life of its own. Until purged by the sacrificial death of the wrongdoer, society would be chronically infected by catastrophe. An example is Atreus, who invited his brother to a delicious stew containing the bodies of his own sons. A miasma contaminated the entire family of Atreus, where one violent crime led to another, providing fodder for many of the Greek heroic tales. Attempts to cleanse a city or society from miasma may have the opposite effect of reinforcing it. The ancient Chinese thought that miasma was related to the environment of parts of southern China. The miasma was thought to be caused by the heat, a moisture, and dead air in southern Chinese mountains. They thought that insects' waste polluted the air, the fog, the water, and the virgin forest harbored a great environment for miasma to occur. The terrifying miasma disease in the southern regions of China made it the primary location for relegating officials and sending criminals to exile since the Qin Han Dynasty. The prevalent belief and predominant fear of the southern region with its poisonous air and gases is evident in historical documents. Poet Han Yu of the Tang Dynasty, for example, wrote to his nephew who came to see him off after his banishment in his poem called En Route. At dawn, I sent a single warning to the throne of the Nine Steps. At evening, I was banished to Chaoyang, 8,000 leagues, striving on behalf of a noble dynasty to expel an ignoble government. How should I, withered and worn, deplore my future lot? The clouds gather on Qiyin Mountains. I cannot see my home. The snow bars the passes of land. My horse cannot go forward. But I know that you will come from the far to fulfill your set purpose and lovingly gather my bones on the banks of that plague-stricken river. The 1918 influenza pandemic infected 500 million people around the world, or 27% of the then world population, including people on isolated Pacific islands and in the Arctic. The death toll is estimated to have been around 50 million, making it one of the deadliest epidemics in human history. Panacea, named after the Greek goddess of universal remedy, is any substance that's claimed to cure all diseases or prolong life. It was sought by alchemists in connection with the Philosopher's Stone, a mythical substance which was considered an elixir of life, and that would enable the transmutation of common metals into gold, among other things. The Cahulia people of the Colorado Desert region of California used the red sap of the elephant tree as a panacea, used to treat most diseases, but especially skin disorders. It's a species of tree in the frankincense family, but no word yet of its effect on viruses. Traditional Chinese medicine used ginseng widely as a cure-all, whose Latin name, incidentally, is Panax, and shares the same origin as panacea, meaning all healing in Greek, so it might be a good idea to keep some around, even if it's not exactly a cure. So I hope everyone stays safe out there, and since many schools, events, and travel are being temporarily shut down, it looks like I'll have plenty of time to make more videos. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. You can find my published books on Amazon. I'd like to thank those who support me through patreon.com. There should be a link below for anyone interested. Thank you so much to anyone who shares these videos. Please remember to hit the like button and subscribe for updates. I look forward to reading your thoughts in the comment section. Please have a wonderful and safe weekend. I hope to see you again soon.